Turn, please, as you would, or go back to 1 John chapter 3. Tonight, if we could see Jesus. And as I shared this morning, I don't know where I heard this or read it, but I was challenged a few months ago by someone who takes a small book of the Bible like this, and the challenge was to read it every day for 35 days. And copy notes and what the Lord impresses you with. And so I thought, that sounds like a great idea. It can't harm you to read the Bible. It can't harm you to read the Bible.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. That got to be a good thing. If you know where to find the Bible, that's a good thing. And I praise the Lord you still know where that's at also. That's a good thing. I'm not sure about these dudes here, but whatever, amen. But after reading it 35 times, I thought, boy, this is great. Every day it's something new. The Holy Spirit takes His Word, and I would recommend that the Word of God was inspired by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God had an intention in what He inspired. Don't be like the curly-haired, grinning Jimmies today and make up your little message and then apply verses from every different translation under the sun to say what you would like the Word of God to say. It should say what God intended it to say. And then when you figure that out, and you can, because it's of no private interpretation. You don't have to be a genius. All you have to be is saved tonight to know what the Bible says. It can stir you up because it is the power of God unto salvation. Somebody told me 46 years ago, they patted me on the leg. And no, it wasn't like that. I forgot where I'm at. But anyway, they said, you know, son, you'll get over this. Calm down, you'll get over this. Well, it's been a long time. It's been 47 years, and I haven't gotten over it yet. And I don't plan on it very soon. And so praise the Lord for the Bible. But anyway, I read this book 35 times, 35 days. And when I got to chapter 3, this is not a new revelation. There's nothing new under the sun. But tonight, the first thing we notice, behold! If you remember John the Baptist, when he was there in the river baptizing, he looked up. He'd already known who Jesus was. I shared this morning. It's irony to me, and I can't tell you theologically how it worked, but it did. John preached his first message in the womb of his mother when he leaped in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says he was born filled with the Spirit of God. I have no clue about that, but he was. The Bible says he was. And there in the presence of the Lord Jesus in the womb, these two fellows had fellowship before he was ever born. So it's not a surprise to me that there in the river, when he saw John saw Jesus coming down the river along the bank, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. It is an attention word. Behold. Now, I don't want you to behold me. For sure, if you behold me long enough, and I know I'm a superhero to most people here, but if you behold me long enough, you'll find out my powers are limited. My knowledge is strained. My vocabulary is very limited. I quit playing that word game on Facebook because most of my classmates in the school I went to, they actually post two-syllable words and let the world know that that was their word. 1.5 points. Anyway, if you don't understand that, it's okay. I want to get the big words. Amen. And so behold tonight. So let's go past me. Let's go past these folks. And let's look at who we should be looking at tonight. It's an hour in the United States of America and around the world when we better be looking to someone. And that someone isn't a politician. That someone holds no office. That someone is Jesus Christ. We need Him tonight. We need Him as much as we've ever needed Him. And in these verses, the Holy Spirit says, behold. First of all, number one, the declaration. Behold. Oh my, behold, what manner of love. And my, the first couple times through reading this, I put down, you know, the key here is love. We want to focus on the love. And then after about five or six days, I wrote down there, the Father. The Father kept jumping out at me. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Oh, tonight, this is love. Because the first person who ever loved you was the Father. And He loved you in eternity. And oh, I'm not here to ride some doctrinal issues or anything, but God loved you in eternity. I love that song that some people sing. I wish I could. I wish I had long, wavy hair. I wish I traveled around in a bus and had CDs for sale. That's been my dream, really. And you can tell it hasn't come true. But I can't. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now tonight, in words, I cannot really put this into vocabulary words. I can't put this in humanly speaking things that totally are understandable. But God has loved you for eternity. I know that because back in eternity, and this is silly, when you talk about this is eternal love, then there never was a point of time when this took place because it's always been there, this love for you. Tonight, He loves you if you're saved. You should really, if you haven't, give Him your life because He's known you forever. I've been married to my wife 46 years. To this day, I don't know her. I'm not complaining. I don't understand all about my wife. I have no clue what she does sometimes. I try to do something and I think it's going to work out right and I'm going to be the most loving husband, adorable man that ever lived, and it's not understood. And likewise with her. If you're looking for compatibility tonight, you're a lost person. You're in big trouble. Two people of different natures live in the same house and not much compatibility going on. There just needs to be love. Tolerance would be a good word, and then we'll go into our married couples seminar in just a few moments. I look a little like Dr. Phil, don't I? Okay. The Father's love. Back in eternity, let's go back there. I know this is true, it's in the Bible. The Father got the Son aside and said, Son, I'm going to give you some people that I really love. I'm going to give them to you. And the Son said, well, Father, when He gets to the New Testament and He's here ministering on earth, He said, Father, I kept my promise back there in eternity. All you gave me, I loved them. I died for them. I shed my blood for them. I rose again from the dead for them. Oh, this is eternal love tonight. Behold this love. It's eternal tonight. Young person, you can trust Him. Where He guides, He provides. He'll protect you. He'll give you blessing. Newlyweds and nearly deads, you can trust Him. That's an old one. I've said that here 1,000 times, but you new people can laugh. It's okay. Eternal love tonight. Behold, the Father hath bestowed upon us. Then the second thing, and actually He kept that promise. In Matthew 1:23, we read at Christmas and during the holidays most of the time, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. God visited us. Many people idolize missionaries and preachers and different people. But how simple it is to serve a God who's loved me forever. I've always been on His mind. I'm thinking tonight there's a good chance He knows what's best for me. I think there's a good chance He knows right where I should be. I think there's a good chance that He'll never allow me to have that come into my life that I'm not able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. He loves us tonight. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now the proclamation. Now, this is part of what I've already spoken about, so this will not take too long. What manner of the love the Father hath bestowed upon us? If you want to copy down the alliteration, I really can't speak without it, but the bestower is the Father. Why did He love me? I have no clue. I feel like, not that I'm in the category of the Apostle Paul, but I feel like he did. You know, the things I think I should do, many times I don't do. And those things I shouldn't do, I find myself doing. But He loved me. Sure as I'm standing here tonight, He loved you if you're saved. He's loved you forever. If God is tugging at your heart to give your life totally to Him and serve Him somewhere, or to teach a Sunday school class, or to be a part of the bus ministry, or be a part of Vacation Bible School, my, let that love permeate your body. Let it penetrate your soul. And tonight, you'll never be sorry serving a man who's loved you forever. But the proclamation not only has a benefit, but it has benefits. I like benefits. The government hasn't seen fit to give me many, but I like benefits. And it says here that we should be called the sons of God. I grew up in a humble home, not even middle class, below that. I had great grandparents that loved me and kept care of me. I had 3 good meals a day. I knew my grandmother would be there if I needed her. My mother worked hard and tried to provide for us because we were without a father. And the little place I came from is not hardly on the map. In fact, now, if I go back there probably in October, some of our downtown stores in Plymouth, Ohio, are for giveaway because no one wants them anymore. They don't even want to pay the taxes. My last trip through that little town, 2 of the main buildings that used to be booming businesses were for giveaway. Please take these things. So I came from a real popular place. And so I know about name, what names mean. But back in 1966, between 1966 and 1967, I got a name that was above every name. I became a son of God. Tonight, those are the benefits. Now listen closely to the wording of this, because we'll end with this a little more in a few moments. That we should be called the sons of God. We should not be ashamed of that. Tonight, our country is in the condition it's in, not because of politics, not because of elections, and not because of corruption, but I think it's because the salt of the earth has lost its savor. There's one guilty party in the United States of America tonight, and please, Lord, forgive us. It's us. You can't blame it on those who are lost anyway. They do not know. They have no way of doing right or good in the sight of God. We have more professions of faith in America this very hour than probably in the history of Christianity, and less impact. Would God have us tonight in our lives behold the love of God? Behold the benefits that we are the sons of God, and we should act like it. We're living in an irresponsible time in the average church. The reason why most people attend most churches is because there is no responsibility, no holy living, no separation. And tonight, our country needs us to realize the benefits. We are the sons of God, and we should represent Him here on this earth, the benefits. Then quickly moving on, This is the part where I ask everybody to smile. Filipinos have taught me to smile. I don't know what. I've always smiled, but I always have my mouth closed when I'm smiling. And I don't know why. Maybe now it's because my teeth will fall out. But anyway, you know. I know I shouldn't have said that, but I did. But smile, okay? Because the first two are shouting things for Christians. You know, Pastor, there are things you can say in most churches that people are going to shout. If you've been around long enough preaching 47 years, you know what to say in most places. It's going to get people happy and excited. And though we don't have the curly hair and the big smile and an athletic field to preach in, we know what to say, amen? And sometimes you're tempted to get people to smile because it's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And amen. But now this point's not really a smiling point. We first of all see the proclamation. Then we see the declaration. But thirdly, we see in these verses separation. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. The Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again because it's truth. If you really, 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 really tell the truth, most interviewers on TV, those men are not going to be interviewing you on national television. Because when you're asked, well, what would you tell the world? Well, world, you're sinners. separated from God. That separation from God, when you die and take your last breath on this earth, is going to put you in a devil's hell, and you're going to burn forever without Jesus Christ. You need His shed blood. You need His forgiveness. You need repentance. You need to turn to God from your wicked ways and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. There aren't many people going to have you interviewed because the world knows us not. If we're really known by the world, I think we have a great problem, because in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, I've read so many books on 1 John and commentaries, and all of them give like a theme for the book. And one is love, one is eternal life, and all of these things. No, K-N-O-W, and all of those things. But boy, there are many things in 1 John. And one of them is, if we love the world, we're lost. If you love the world and I love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. It's a fact. John was asked, well, why aren't they in church anymore? Where'd they go? Well, they continued not with us because they were never of us. And get this one. By this shall you know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another. Enmity or problem with your brother that can't be resolved. And how many times, Pastor, do you have people that actually sit down in front of you and say, I can't love that person? And that is your testimony from your word. You are not saved. That's the Bible. That's not too popular tonight. Not many people smiling at this moment, but that's the truth. And if we'll believe the truth will set us free. Tonight, some of those animosities and things we've had lingering in our hearts for years and years, if we'd get rid of them, we'd have freedom. We'd have the joy. We'd realize the Bible is true. And the greatest thing tonight, if we could get rid of that, and we can if we're saved, we would have assurance of salvation, because God will give us the love. So separation. Be careful with the world. Boy, if you would agree with me, I think we'd all agree the world is a nasty thing. And if you have to go out and work and just buy groceries and just drive down the road, the world is there to eat us up. You can't even go through the TV channels without the world jumping out at you. You can't get from one channel to the other one. Is that right or not? The billboards, the advertisement. My, on TV, the sitcoms now that we get there in the Philippines from here. My, the relationships that are portrayed there are anti-biblical. They're against God. They're against the Bible. They offend God. They make Him sick. They put His Son on the cross. And we watch them. We watch them consistently. We laugh. That's a sad time. It's sad. There needs to be separation. The Father's love would separate us and make us more like Jesus Christ. And then there needs to be a clarification. And we're almost done. And I like this. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. I'm glad I'm not finished. I'm glad this isn't it. If I own $16 million worth of properties, lands, houses, boats, yachts, anything, I'm glad that's not it. I'm glad that's not. And by the way, I'd be happy with any of those listed if they came my way. I would share them with you. I'd let you come and spend the night in my guest room, one of the 20 guest rooms. I'd let you go into my video TV room, bigger than this. Amen? I'm not selfish. But the secret here we read in these verses, all of it will pass away. It's gone forever. Isn't it something that just recently there have been so many catastrophes and people have lost everything in one night? Everything. Big homes, pictures, things that have been a part of their life forever, poof, they're gone. And believe me, the Bible is true. They'll be gone. And only what's done for Christ will last. And that's forever. Wind can't destroy it. Moth, rust can't come in. Thieves can't take it away from you. It's forever. And ever. Tonight, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's clarified in these verses. Hey, it's not over. I may not look like much now, but one of these days the trumpet's going to sound. The archangel is going to give a shout. Or, if I die before the rapture, the moment I die, I'm going to be like him. I don't look like much now, but my dear friends, tonight, each of you, you may be a little down with your circumstances, but look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. The Father loved us. He bought us. He sent his Son to die, shed his blood, and raised from the dead for our sins. And then it goes on, even one more step, as the Bible always does, the glorification. The glorification. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. My soul. It's not hard for me to be loud. It's not really hard for me to be excited about the gospel, but I want to see him. I'm loved by my wife. I imagine in the ministry, if any man has ever been loved by his people, I have people that would give their life for me. They take care of me. They watch over me. They love me. But there's one who sticketh closer than a brother. He's loved me forever. He's my God, my Savior, my Lord Jesus Christ. And it's never been a question with my wife and I, what can we do but serve him? There's nothing spectacular about that. In the war, the Japanese had control of the Philippines. I've met many people, older people, that actually helped save someone who had money's life. I've met 3 or 4 of them. And that person, for the rest of their breathing days, will be financially provided for by those people who have money because they saved their lives. They get them a home. They get them a place to live. They provide them rice and bayan every week. They let them take vacations and trips just to say, I love you. You saved my life. Tonight, I think it's time, if we haven't done it, to look at the manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. We should give him not something, but everything. I thank God, and I have no idea why, but many years ago, my wife and I several times came to the front of a church and said, Lord, here am I. Here we are. Use us. And he has. Why? I do not know. But I know if he can use me, he can use you tonight. It's a sure thing. But he needs for us to know his love, to show the world his love. Tonight would be a good time, if you haven't done that, to step out and say, Lord, I have beheld your love. Here am I. Send me. Use me. And I would say, satisfaction is guaranteed. It's a great thing to serve him, isn't it? For those of you who are serving, isn't it? I'm not talking to convicts here. I think there's a bunch of people here serving him. Okay, smile. I'm not looking down on you. I think there's a room full of people that are serving him. Do you want your money back? By the way, you're not getting it because the offering's already been put in the safe and locked with 3 padlocks. Amen. You don't want to give it back. But I'm sure in a group this big, this size, there are some you've not yet given in your life. And this would be a good time. I would highly recommend it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that not only should we be called the sons of God, we are the sons of God. Let's pray.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your servant. Thank you for both Howard and Jenny all these years, Lord, and John and his family there faithfully serving you. And the message tonight, Lord, we can never fully comprehend, but how often we must think about the manner of love that you have bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Powerful and life-changing. May we embrace it completely by faith. May it change us as your word always does. Thank you again for tonight and the message and your unchangeable love for your people. We praise you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Glad you're saved. Amen. Amen. Greet our visitors. Brother Howard has a table set up in the back. I hope you go back there. Brother Howard, God bless you. Tremendous message. Thank you for blessing us.